Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Pray with me now. Father, as we've worshiped you so far, we were thankful for your presence in our midst. We seek a word from you today. Please guide and direct us and give us the courage to follow through. In Jesus' name, amen. So we started last Sabbath our series titled The Promise, the Christmas series, and it's focusing on four aspects of the promise of hope, which we looked at last week, the promise of peace, joy, and love, and all those aspects of the promise lead us right back to that manger. And so today we're going to look at the promise of peace, and we're going to talk about, you know, just quickly 3 points about the peace that we have is possible through Christmas. Now, you know, when we think about the inauguration of the time of Christmas, right after Thanksgiving — Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, by the way — but right after is the infamous what?
Black Friday.
I was looking at the start of Black Friday. It's a long history, but you'd be amazed what Black Friday really is about and what it's turned out to be, right? And so you probably have heard a lot of some horror stories of things that happen during Black Friday. Yes, people do some crazy things. I read about a mom that was, doing her, from 4 o'clock in the morning in line at a GameStop. You know, GameStop, they sell video games, and she had been there for hours in line, and so you know how that is. If you're in line for hours, you don't want to give up your spot. But she was with her child, and the child had to go to the bathroom. She didn't want to lose her spot. So what happened? She had her child poop right there in the front of the line because she didn't want — she did. Yeah, because she didn't want to lose her line. There's some crazy stories. Some of them are violent ones. You've probably seen videos of it. And when you think about it, it's ironic that here in the United States, something so crazy and so violent starts this Christmas season, because that's certainly not what Christmas is about. Certainly not the spirit that we should have during a Christmas, right? We all long for that peace that comes with Christmas, but all too often it's conflict and frustration that we get. That is in direct opposition of peace, isn't it? You know, when we look in the Bible, the Bible was written by people who found themselves in the middle of struggle and chaos. Much of the Old Testament is the story of people who were under the siege by their enemies, enslaved by conquering nations. And so most of the people of God in those days, they were asking God, pleading that God would bring peace. And one of the prophetic promises in the book of Isaiah addressed the need for a new leader that would come and become the Prince of Peace. See, they believed that God was not done with them. They believed that God kept his promises. They believed that God was coming to the rescue. So we read in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, we know this well. We often quote this passage during Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The promise of God penned by the prophet Isaiah is for a coming ruler who will usher a new form of government, a government that will last forever. He would be a baby that would be born, but he would become the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of course, this was not the reality in the times that the Israelites lived in during the time of Isaiah. But as we said last week, those promises were meant to support, to encourage the people of God, that God had not forgotten about them. You know, when we look around us, it's no secret that we live in a world of chaos. It's a reminder that we live in a broken, fallen world. Turn on the news, it's all about wars, right? Of course, you know, now we're entering, believe it or not, almost 2 years since the start of the Ukrainian-Russian war, and that's taken a backseat to Israel and Hamas, right? Far away, this is what happens. But, you know, it may not be that far, Because there may be chaos in your own families, in your own homes. This is the reality, friends. Yeah. Whether far or near, we can relate with God's the desire of God's people that God would send someone who would rule and bring order out of chaos, bring healing out of brokenness. So if we're honest with ourselves, we long to see peace in the world. We long to see God fulfill his promise of someone who would rule with love and compassion. That kingdom that would destroy all kingdoms will last forever, that we read about in the book of Daniel chapter 2. And so hundreds of years after Isaiah writes these promises, the promise comes true. And the first people to hear about that promise comes to a bit as a bit of a surprise. Our scripture reading in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there will be born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." You know, normally when we think about these little shepherds in the Christmas story, we imagine these little cute little kids with white, you know, sheets around them. But friends, these shepherds in the Middle East were anything but cute. Yeah, shepherds were the lowest of the low in the Jewish society. Yeah, they were a nomadic group of people who were just wandering around with their sheep, looking for a pasture to graze in. Yeah, they certainly they were young men. They had no children. They were not clean, and they probably didn't smell very good. These were second-class citizens. They were untrustworthy, and yet these are the first people that God says is necessary for them, for him to reveal to them the promise has come true. The promise has come true. This brings us to our first point about the peace, the promise of peace, and that is that the peace of Christ is for everyone. Amen. The peace of Christ is for who? Yeah. It's for everyone. See, this is the sense that we get when we read the story of Christmas, that the hope, that the joy, that the peace, that the love is not for all those that are powerful or those that have it figured out. The peace of God is for everybody everywhere. The peace that will come with his leadership and rule is not for the ones that are already in power, but for the ones that are scratching and crawling just to make it to another day. Maybe that's you. Maybe you think, well, I am not worthy of that peace of God. But let me tell you, if you don't think you're not worthy, well, join the club. You're in good company. And so this message of peace is for you. It's for you. And so the angel of the Lord appears to these men in the field and put yourself in their shoes. How would you react with the glory of God all around you? They were terrified. I would be too. They were terrified. It must have been an overwhelming experience. I want you to look at the words that were spoken to them, because, of course, God knew how they were going to react. What did he say? "Do not be afraid." The first word spoken to these shepherds, and I believe the words that God wants for us to hear today are words of peace. Do not be afraid. Though you may be facing a painful situation, do not be afraid. Though you may be confronting an unfavorable diagnosis, do not be afraid. Though you may be struggling in a relationship in your home, do not be afraid. Though you may be anxious about the circumstances in your life, do not be afraid. Amen. And here's why. Here's why. The angel says that he brings good news of great joy for all people. Maybe some of you can use some good news today, because maybe some of you have not experienced peace for a very long time. But in the arrival of Jesus, we have good news. And friends, the good news is this: God has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about you. He has come to be with you in the middle of your struggle. He was born in the city of David. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is in charge. He is the King. He is the one you have been waiting for. You've been waiting for him. So the peace that Christ of Christ is for everyone. But now here's the second one. The peace that Christ offers is not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of God. The peace that Jesus brings into our lives does not necessarily mean the absence of trouble, if that were only true, but instead it is the confidence that God is with us in the middle of the trouble. That it is possible, you know, it's hard for us to understand that peace is possible in the middle of conflict, but it is. I'm reminded of the story of a man who, he was an artist, and he was trying to find the perfect picture, painting of peace, because he couldn't find one. What he did is he announced a contest, somebody to produce this masterpiece of what peace looks like. And so he announced it, and that stirred the imagination of everybody everywhere. And paintings arrived far and near. And finally, the great day arrived of the unveiling of these paintings. And the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. And the viewers clapped and cheered. Tensions grew. Only two pictures remained. And as the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror, smooth lake, reflected lacy green birches under a soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. But the man with this vision, there was one picture left. As he unveiled it, and the crowd grasped in surprise, could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel the cold penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning and wind and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the fall. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. I know there was a picture here. I don't know if you have it there, Brent. I had a picture of that. There it is. It sort of looks like that. You see, friends, peace can be experienced in the midst of the chaotic circumstances when we recognize that peace is not about those circumstances, but peace about the one who is faithful to walk through us even in the midst of troubling circumstances. The first Christmas story, the angels brought good news. A child has been born in a town of David, and he will be a better king who would rule and bring peace. See, Luke is borrowing, actually, from the words of Isaiah, and he's keying in on a time when Israel knew peace. See, they were looking at the time of David because for the Israelites, that was the best time. That was the time that they wanted to happen again. We want somebody like that. But Luke is saying, God has somebody better for you. Better than David. This time, the baby who will be wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger is the God of the universe who moved himself in the midst of us to live with us. And the peace that comes is not from a mortal man like David, but from the divine. And notice that as soon as this announcement is given, we have a joyful singing. Verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Can you say glory to God in the highest? And peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, this last part of this passage in verse 14, the Greek, actually, it ends by saying peace among men. Not only men, obviously, but peace among you, people, with who he, well, that is God, is pleased. Amen. Peace among men who God is pleased with. So do you want to know peace in your life? You must be at peace with God. God, and that brings us to the third point, is that God's favor comes from being at peace with Him. Being at peace with God. You know, the story of the Bible reveals that the most important place where we are to experience peace is not in circumstances, it's not in a relationship. The most important place for you to experience peace is in your heart. You need to be at peace with a holy God. Because that's not the reality. We live in a sinful world. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that the rule that governs most of us is the rule of sin, and it stirs chaos, it stirs problems, it stirs tribulation and conflict. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is in enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed it can be. See, when we find ourselves in lost in sins, we are at odds with God. We don't submit to Him, and the reason we don't submit to Him is because we think we know better. And in fact, the reality is that we're in problems with other people. There's wars around the world because people think they know better. That's our own situation. We think we know better. But friends, the birth of the promised King is a coming of a new rule into the world. A rule that begins in our own hearts. In our own hearts. That baby that grew up to be a man, he offered himself willingly on the cross of Calvary for the atonement of our sins. The peace that comes, that we find in Christmas, comes from us submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. Because it reorients our hearts and it makes us friends with God. And so though maybe in the world there's chaos around us, that's the reality. We can find comfort and confidence in knowing that we have been made right with God because of the blood shed on the cross by Jesus Christ, that baby that was born in the manger. His presence in our lives brings peace. Yeah. So maybe today you recognize that maybe you haven't seen peace in a long time, that you don't know what that looks like. And it could be that maybe you haven't experienced this peace is because you haven't been at peace with God. And the only way of being at peace with God is to finally submitting to Him and accepting the gift of Christmas, which is Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's the only way we can be at peace with God, because He, through Jesus, has forgiven our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And that peace is available for you today. You can experience that peace. And so, if you haven't experienced the peace and you'd like to experience that peace, I want to challenge you today to receive the gift of Christmas. Because by receiving the gift of Christmas, you not only your sins are forgiven, you can have eternal life, you can have the knowledge that you're at peace with God, but you are making God happy because you've accepted the gift that He's offered for you. And so we know, friends, that this peace of God is for everyone. It's for everyone. And we accept that peace, we're at peace with God. And even though we may be still in the midst of conflict, we can experience that because we know that God keeps His promise that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. His presence in your life causes peace. Would you like to have that peace today? That's the peace of Christmas. It's a reality because God has made it possible for us, the peace of God.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.